Det startet som en helt vanlig dag. Med de helt vanlige rutinene, den vanlige reiseruten og det vanlige stresset. Helt til ingenting var vanlig lenger.
Hvorfor ser alle på meg egentlig? Har det skjedd noe?
Noen har lagt ut bilder av deg på nettet.
Hvis du rammes av et digitalt innbrudd, er du ofte den siste som får vite om det. For sikkerhetens skyld inkluderer vi sikkerhetstjenester i våre abonnement. Bli tryggere på telenor.no/sikkerhet.
Jernverket som ukentlig podcast nærmer seg slutten. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv, og i nest siste episode får vi høre hva Nature sa første gangen de besøkte Norge og krater. Men du, før intervjuet er noe jeg må si. For det ikke gratis å lage jernverket, så om du vil støtte produksjonen av programmet, det helt genialt om du vil donere et par slanter. Det går an å trekke et fast beløp hver måned via patreon.com/jernverket, eller gi en enkeltsum via VIPS nummer 567438. Informasjon og lenkene står i episodebeskrivelser, og beløpet selvsagt valgfritt. Bidraget går rett til jernverket. Tusen takk for alt jeg har fått inn hittil. Jeg takknemlig for hver eneste kron.
God kveld i stua, velkommen til Jernverket på Radio Rocks. Mitt navn Helle Stenkløv, og for knappe to vekker siden, når det var Kraterfestival i Oslo, så traff jeg på Nature fra New York, som spilte den første konserten sin i Norge og Oslo. Jeg tok en prat med guttene, som dere snart skal få høre. De forteller blant annet hvor forferdelig det kan være å være signet på Earache, om et radioprogram som noen av dem har hatt, og om den gangen navnet deres ble stavet totalt feil utenfor en konsertsal. Herre og mye mer i kveld, men første ønskelåt fra Nature, sure, Mindless Sinner, Live and Die.
This is the Mexicutioner.
This is Wyvis.
Dino Destroyer.
This is Tooth Log from Nature, and you're listening to Jernverket in Norway.
Amulet fra England funnet at de skulle gi ut en heavy metal undergrunnssamlist. Den heter Well Heavy Volume 1 og kommet litt tidligere I år. Der finner vi blant annet Nature med Poison King som vi nettopp fikk her på Jernverket og Radio Rocks. Og Nature spilte sin første konsert I Oslo og Norge for knappe to vekker siden under Kraterfestivalen. Jeg traff på guttene på et hotellrom og tok en liten prat med Mexicutioner, Toothlog, Dino Destroyer og Vaybust. Hvordan startet egentlig Nature?
We started, what year was that?
2008.
We started, me and Tooth are both from Rhode Island and we were moving down to New York and I had a previous band called The Massic, Tooth, his other band Norwell, we used to play together a lot and he our drummer left The Massic, he filled in for our drummer and started playing music together and moved down to New York and Damien had wanted to start a band so we got together as a three piece and originally the bass player from my old band Damasic was going to play bass and
I was playing guitar at that point
yeah and then we just neither of us were really good guitarists so
we weren't Dino
yeah we needed a shredder and we were playing with Dino's other band Total Social Suicide a lot and it just Tooth suggested that Dino actually Tooth told us that Dino had a he knew of a guy that had a Jewish priest tat and I don't know that sounded pretty good to us it turned out he didn't have a Jewish priest tat he had a Jewish priest hat that he lost
but no longer on it
we thought he was pretty cool with a Jewish priest hat yeah. So we were like but the reason he got in though is because the bass player from Damasic that was playing was quit when we sent him some recordings like you guys don't have the chops
yeah
you need some
he wasn't impressed
so
yeah Dodes the bass player quit and so he switched over to bass and
I just came in and filled the guitar duties immediately
yeah. Fit like
it
a glove
kind of like that was it right there in a nutshell
originally we were called Blood Beast. I don't know, it didn't really fit what we were doing.
Represent the music quite right.
Yeah.
We have Blood Beast recordings that are pretty cool, though.
Yep. Yeah.
Do they differ from the nature we know today?
Yeah.
What kind of music was that?
It's heavy metal, but it's a bit more rock and roll.
Yeah.
It's like an old sound. It's just like kind of 70s rock, kind of.
But heavy.
Yeah.
And one song called Purple Princess.
All the songs are basically about, like, the weed that we were buying from the delivery dealers. And all the weed that we would buy had different names on it. So we would, like, write songs about, like, the weed character or whatever.
Yeah, that's...
We were high a lot.
But then...
Then we were like... It just didn't fit. Yeah, it was...
Started writing closer to the way we write now, and it was just kind of... Didn't really match, you know? It was like a weird... When we play that song in the set, it just kind of was a departure in a way.
It just wasn't nasty. We wanted to make just some nastier... scarier sounding shit.
Det sa Toothlog trommis I Nature. Og bandet mener det at du må ha litt mer satan I deg for å kunne skrive ordentlig god heavy metal.
You know, we just took a lot of inspiration from horror movies and you know, the evil side of things.
It just should sound like intense, I guess. But not like...
Not always about like just fucking partying and chicks and...
That's for the rock and roll.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's great. That was another thing. When we started, we had some songs about, like, cold cuts and beer and stuff like that. And
Sad. That was just, you know, again.
It didn't have the same effect. I don't know. It just
cougars.
It's fun to play. It's always, like, fun to write songs about, like, stuff we enjoy, like, everyday life, but it's much more interesting to write songs about things that only happen in dreams.
You have to use your imagination a little more, I guess.
For many centuries ago, no offense.
Det Radio Rocks og Jernverket. Vi fikk Neptune med Enemies plukket ut av Nature fra New York. Og vi møtte Nature under Kraterfestivalen for et par helge siden. Og de fikk jo en drømmeavtale. I hvert fall kan det kjennes sånn for mange band når et plateselskap velger å signe dem. Men det å være på Earache, det var ikke noe særlig fortelle Nature.
We were signed to Earache Records like from the UK and it was pretty much a mistake for us. Like, we're not that kind of... We're way too small of a band and not always... Like, we don't have, like, the means or, you know, the time to be full-time musicians. And that, like, to be on a big label like that, they expect that from you. And we didn't really like their, you know...
We
policies.
Never really saw eye to eye with them ever on anything.
Yeah, they were taking a chance with us when they signed us in the first place. Yeah.
They just started doing things behind our back too that we didn't know about or you know, weren't
they
aware
would
about.
Like we would shoot photos, like promotional photos, and they would ask to see the selects, you know, and the photographer would put a watermark on it just so when they wanted to use the photo, ideally they would pay him for it, but they never paid him anyways. But they ended up taking those photos and using them with like the photographer's watermark basically over our faces, you know, just like really unprofessional stuff like that. They would like make shirts that we didn't authorize and
they'd put up rough mixes
merch
up on their site or whatever.
There was like some kind of communication barrier with them like pretty much the whole time. And we had some, you know, they put out a great product with our album, but it was it's so fucking expensive, like, so that was like a big problem for us. We could never get our own records because they were costing us like about $14 a piece, so we were kind of like always distant from them. And you know, I attempted to get fired. We had said some stuff in other interviews and stuff where we were like, people were like, oh, how's being on Earache? We're like, well, it fucking sucks. Like, this is why, and all this shit. And hoping that they would just release us from the contract to be like, oh, fuck these guys. But they never did. And then in the spring of this year, we got an email that just said, hey, you know, we had a good run, but we have to pull the plug on Nature, so you guys are now free agents. And we thought it was the best day of our band's history. when they fired.
Yeah, there was one guy there, Al Dawson, and he was like the only guy in our court. And when he sent that email, he was like genuinely like bummed, because he's like, he basically said like, this label doesn't care about heavy metal anymore. It's all they care about is like shitty rock and roll bands. So. And we were really happy when we got that email, just so, because now we can kind of do whatever we want. It was, being on a label like that kind of limits you. You think it would open up a lot of doors, but actually closes a lot of doors as far as like doing 7 inches, like split 7 inches with bands and stuff like that.
We always wanted to do a split with Necromantheon, and we always wanted to do some kind of comp with Occulta from Germany, and the label just never would authorize anything like this. So
they didn't really support us touring either. Like, we had a South by Southwest gig playing with Cro-Mags and Fear, and it's kind of a big show, and they were we don't do South by, we're not going to give you any money. Or they were going to lend us the money.
Yeah, but they want to pay back.
So. Yeah.
But they weren't really supporting us when we needed it.
Du hører et intervju med Nature på Jernverket og Radio Rocks. Det å være signet på et stort plateselskap var ikke noe særlig for et band som dem, men nå kan de gjøre akkurat hva de vil.
The next step is we're going to release a single, like, probably record it still this year, and we'll have Electric Assault put that out, which is a label from Brooklyn, Henry.
He's been working with Antichrist and, like, The Oath and... Stone Dagger
stuff. Yeah, Sonic Ritual, all these
grave mad bands.
Nature fra New York på Jernverket og Radio Rocks. Vi skal snart høre mer fra dem etter det her og Trouble med Psalm 9.
Han så over skulderen hennes mens hun bestilte, og la merke til at hun valgte filet og fish. Og med ett ble han usikker på om de to egentlig hadde så mye til felles, og om de kjente hverandre så godt som han hadde trodd at de gjorde. Og mens han tenkte på det, så snudde hun seg. Og så på han med et smil som gjorde at han var helt sikker på at det skulle være de to for alltid. Og det er sånne åpenbaringer som gjør at folk står og kliner rett foran bestillingsautomaten noen ganger. Men sånn er livet. Og McDonald's bare en liten del av det, tross alt.
I kveld det Nature som gjeste DJ'a på Jernverket, og Radio Rocks Trouble med Psalm 9 der. Og Nature har et tett bånd til ganske mange norske og svenske band. Men hva egentlig groen til det når de helt til på andre siden av dammen?
Back in the MySpace days, Proxy stumbled upon our MySpace page, and she started emailing us, and then she was coming to the States with Obliteration and Necromantheon. And me and Tooth were down at Maryland Death Fest. I mean, yeah, Maryland Death Fest. And we ended up hanging out with those dudes. And then they came to New York, played a show in New York, and we all jammed at our practice space. And just kind of been...
And then, like, the Fenris thing, Band of the Week.
Yeah, I guess Proxy was listening to it with Fenris. And just after we had met Obliteration and her, or whatever, and then it was, you know... Back when Band of the Week was kind of fresh and new, and it was like exposing us to so many like underground bands from Europe. And then when we went to Live Evil, we finally, you know, we got to see really what the fuck is what when it came to underground heavy metal. It's just something like we...
It was a nice meeting of the minds at that festival.
Yeah, yeah, everyone, solidified.
Everyone was kind of on the same page on what they were doing.
The talent coming out of Europe was really impressive. The most important underground acts now are, you know, still in Norway and Sweden, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you probably sound a little bit more like European bands rather than any other American bands. I can't think of any other American band that sounds like us or plays a style.
Yeah, especially in Brooklyn.
Yeah, especially there.
You know, it's like the scene there is like not our sound.
Yeah, what's the trend in Brooklyn? And
black metal.
That and like sludge metal.
Sludge metal.
Yeah.
It's pretty popular.
Screamy.
Post metal.
Yeah. Post this, post that.
Mm-hmm. We're all buddies with everyone. It's a small city, but for being a huge city, but the music is just like kind of fucked. I feel like we relate to the guys in Flight and Necromantion Obliteration more so than even any other bands in the States. I think we're all doing kind of, we're on the same plane, on the same level. All just working schmucks.
Det er Jernverket og Radio Rocks Black Sabbath med Supernaut, ønsket av kveldens gjester og DJ'er, Nature fra New York. Og det ikke bare Jernverket som spiller heavy metal på radio. Nature, de har faktisk løftet med det samme selv. Vibust, som vokalist og gitarrist og Tooth på tromma, hadde selv et metal-radioprogram som het The Metal Inquisition. Men hvordan gikk det egentlig med dem?
We had that show for like 3 years and basically the whole time the producers of the station were just giving us a hard time saying that we needed more listeners and we needed to be more professional and to like stop being drunk on the air and all this stuff and we were like fuck this is like
that was kind
not
of,
what we
that
wanted
was kind
to
of
do.
The whole point of the show was it was an online radio station like right on First and First in New York and it was literally like this like a glass window and the streets right there. And so it was like the perfect platform for a radio show, like to be on the street in New York City, you know, just constant weirdos coming in there, bums, just like bachelorette parties, you know. And, but yeah, they had shows 24 hours, just like all different genres. We were the only metal show on there. There was like a hardcore show that we would go on after, and that was like pretty intense crowd to like walk in. It was just like, Vinny Stigma and like all those dudes just like hanging out. It's pretty awesome.
All like the Cro-Mags guys and all the fucking Murphy's Law and all these like crazy guys in there all the time. Just think we're gonna get beat up, but they were really cool.
They were cool though.
But they kicked us. They eventually, the last straw was something like it was the anniversary of Randy Rhoads' death, and we're like, yeah, we're gonna play some Randy Rhoads. You know, he died 30 years ago today, and
it was like 31.
And it was 31 years ago. And we were like, we didn't care. We're like, whatever, we fucked up. Doesn't matter. And the guy was just like, that's it. I'm pulling the plug on your show. Like, you guys suck. Like, you need a fact checker and all this shit. And we're like, fuck you, man. So I was on tour with Occultation at the time. That happened, and I was on the phone with Ryan. We're back and forth. I'm calling the producer, telling him to go fuck himself. It's like this whole thing. Then Ryan went in, stole all the shows,
so we could
listen to them forever. And then they asked us to come back, and we were just like, no, like we're done with you.
They basically put us on probation, and they were like, you guys are on probation until you get like a producer. That is like gonna basically do your show. They just wanted our show to be like the Eddie Trunk show, you know, like he would just always nitpick every little thing that we did wrong. And you know, like we like hated Twitter and we didn't want to be on Twitter, and he's like, you guys have to be on Twitter. And like, so we'd just like do it as a joke. We would just like write really stupid shit on Twitter, and then he'd start criticizing our tweets. He would like email us like, this is a bad tweet, like it was just like getting to that point where it was like we weren't getting paid to do it. We were doing it for our like just to promote our friends' bands, like new, you know, up and coming metal bands. And you know, it was just he was giving us a lot of shit for something we were doing for free, you know.
I think we were pretty successful for what it was. We had like, you know, Dave Chandler from St. Vitus, we had Mark the Shark from Manila Road. We had fucking Rob Halford in the studio with us. Like,
he was the coolest guy ever.
6 months later, the entire station is gone.
Yeah, just shut down.
Like, it just shut down. So,
dude, I think
it was on its way out anyway.
Tooth og Vibust fra Nature fortalte om radioprogrammet sitt Metal Inquisition som de hadde tidligere. Nå radiotida deres forbi, men de i gang med TV og fortalte kort om The Uncle Freddy Show som de holder på å planlegge.
We filmed an episode with Antichrist last year actually. We went on tour with them. So it's
about exactly a year ago.
Yeah. Once, I think once the first episode gets going, it's like, it's just like building the whole like platform for it, and then hopefully it'll go a little smoother. But it'll mostly be like put out on DVDs and just ship them and ship out through like probably Electric Assault's mail order or something like that. I don't know.
Beer Drinkers and Hellraisers kommer andre enn CC Topp på Jernverket og Radio Rocks. Og det Nature som styrer musikken her I kveld. Vi gjorde et intervju med dem under Kraterfestivalen for et par vekker siden. Og de fortalte noen av de beste Spinal Tap-historiene sine til oss.
Our first marquee that we were playing with High on Fire. And we roll up to the venue and it's like High on Fire, blah, 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 Tunar. They like misspelled our name, T U N A R.
That was like all the same letters, but just
tuna, you know,
scrambled, jumbled.
I mean, that's as Spinal Tap as you can get right there.
The guy came out and fixed it right away.
He fixed it, but
it was funny though, pulling up and it was like Tunar.
Yeah, we did a little tour last winter, and we were supposed to play 3 shows in Canada.
Oh yeah,
and
two.
We ended up getting denied at the border 2 times, so we ended up only playing 1 show. The first time we got denied was pretty funny, because the Canadian Border Patrol is pretty strict about, they're pretty good about finding bands that are trying to sneak across the border. And so we didn't bring any of our, like, nothing, no equipment, no, like, merch at all. We had, like, 2 Nature tapes in the van, but we also had, like, other bands' music, too, so, like, we didn't think they would single it out. For some reason, they singled out the Nature tapes, and Dino had one in his backpack, pulled Tooth over, and he had one in his pocket. He had a Nature patch in his pocket, and so they immediately, you know, found, like, realized, they're like, are you in this band called Nature? And we're like, yes. And they're like, are you playing a show tonight? And we're like, no, we're not. We're not playing any, because we took everything off our, you know, Facebook and everything. And so they brought us into, like, the questioning area, and we're all sitting there, and the guy sitting at a computer, like, calls us, like, will the band Nature please come up here? And we're like, so he's like, so you're not playing a show tonight in Canada, right? No shows in Toronto. We're like, no, no shows. He's like sitting there looking at a flyer for the show that we're playing. Just basically like blatantly lying to the Border Patrol. So they weren't too happy about that. They threatened to ban us for a year. And
it would have really fucked us, because we were playing a
festival. Just played a festival there.
Wings of Metal in August.
I drove Death Hammer across the border when they were there. I needed a ride to Canada that day, and they were going to Canada, so I just offered to drive them. And when we got there, I got so nervous. I was thinking, like, if there's one band that'll never get into Canada, it's gonna be Death Hammer. And like, if they don't get in, I'm fucked. I'm leaving for Europe like the next day. You know, I like have to get in. And we went in there, and it was the shortest border experience ever. And the guy took our papers, swiped them, was like, you guys are all good to go. I was like, what? Like, how is this possible?
Du har hørt et intervju med Nature fra 2014. Likte du det, kan du høre pratene med Cauldron, Black Viper og Ranger. Neste vecka kommer siste episode I Jernverket som ukentlig podcast, og den blir ganske spesiell. Jeg tok nemlig med meg opptakeren og ble med Svart Alv, Destroyer på tur I hans ungdoms fotspor.
Skogen bak her sånn, herfra og bort til Kolbotn på Kongeveien, så det tatt en million black metal bilder liksom, for det var det eneste stedet du kunne gå og være litt fra selv oppe I skjærene.
Selv om podden nærmer seg slutten sånn som du kjenner den, så bør du lel abonner på Jernverket podcast via podcast-app eller gå inn på jernverket.com. Fortell alt du kjenner om podden og legg gjerne igjen en god anmeldelse der du lytter. Og hvis du vil bidra med noen kroner for at jeg skal kunne fortsette å lage noen spesialer I ny og ned, kan du gi støtte via Patreon eller Vips. Infoen ligger I episodebeskrivelsen. Husk på å følge Jernverket på Instagram og Facebook. Der får du oppdateringer om hva som skjer fremover. Akkurat nå kan du vinne 2 Audio Pain-skiver fra Katakomben og Duplicate Records. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv og nå inn I siste ordinære sesong med Jernverket, men det blir hardrock-intervju hver fredag til og med 2. juli. Etter det får vi se hva som skjer, men jeg klarer nok ikke å holde meg helt unna. Vi høres!
Velkommen til Kjemperådet! Vi har fått inn et kjempeproblem her. Jeg leser. Jeg på ferie med familien. Det gøy, bortsett fra at jeg har gips på begge beina. Kan ikke bade eller dra noe sted. Jeg føler meg veldig begrenset. Hilsen begrenset far.
Begrenset far trenger ubegrensethet.
Yes. Ja. Kanskje ubegrenset data fra 399 med familierabatt hos Telenor.
Ja, det løser jo alt, bortsett fra det med badingen da. Se nye mobilabonnement på Telenor.no.
Yes!